Welcome, everybody, to the Trade Deadline Extravaganza edition of 3 Up, 3 Down. Luckily, I called up Frank Wren of the Braves. I tried to trade Jeremy Dorn for a BLT. He said no, so we are stuck with Jeremy Dorn still. But it's okay. He is here along with the other Baseball Roundtable Associates, including Kurt Peter is back from his trip to the East Coast. So let's see. Kurt, say hi.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Jeremy, already introduced. Say hi.
How's it going, everyone?
And also joining us this evening, Angelo Felicia.
Hey, guys. What's up?
And Brian Boynton.
Hello, everyone.
And I am Brian Mapes, your host, and I'm so excited. Let's just get right into this. Starting off, I'm going to go with, I think, is the biggest trade of the trade deadline. Actually, didn't happen at the deadline. Happened earlier this week. Zach Greinke goes from Milwaukee, traded to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim for three minor leaguers, including Gene Segura, the shortstop prospect for the Angels, along with Johnny Helwig and Ariel Pena, two pitchers going over to Milwaukee. But Greinke fortifies that Angels rotation that might now be the best in Major League Baseball. Brian, the Angels are breathing down your Rangers' neck in the AL West. How scared are you of this rotation right now?
Well, given how the Angels are pitching, the Rangers aren't, the Angels are hitting, the Rangers aren't, I am very frightened of this rotation because 1 through 5,
they are better than the Rangers are.
And just Zach Greinke, I know the Rangers were in the mix to get him, but I didn't like what they were asking for him. So Angels traded away a lot of their farm players to get him. They're betting it all on this year, so I'm very frightened of them.
Segura was the 11th ranked prospect in the Angels system by Baseball America. Helwig, the 4th ranked prospect in the Brewer in the Angels system, and Ariel Pena was the 9th ranked prospect in the Angels system by Baseball America coming into this season. KP, you're the Brewers fan. Did you like the haul that you got for Zach Greinke?
Definitely. I mean, we traded away a shortstop in Alcides Escobar a year and a half ago for a year and a half of Zach Greinke, who hasn't lost at home in forever. And then we get three great prospects. One happens to be a second base / shortstop. He'll probably play shortstop for the Brewers next year, depending on how he does. But and we pretty much rented Zach Greinke for a year and a half and then traded him away for 2 months and got three good prospects. The pitchers, they're a little shaky right now. They're in the minors. Hopefully they can get stuff worked out for next year, you know, come in strong and either be starters or a good reliever, depending on how they pan out.
All right, going to go to a deadline deal that happened on Tuesday before the 4 p.m. deadline. Hunter Pence, who was traded at the deadline last season to the Philadelphia Phillies, gets traded once again, going to Jeremy's big rival, the San Francisco Giants. The Phillies get back Nate Scherholz, who had requested a trade out of San Francisco. Tommy Joseph, a catching prospect who, if you look at it, was probably going to end up stuck behind Buster Posey for a long time, and pitcher Seth Rosen. Jeremy, do you like the pick for your rival Giants of getting Hunter Pence to play right field at AT&T Park?
I would love it if I was a Giants fan. Nothing quite like taking the air out of the Dodgers' sail, you know, an hour after getting Victorino than getting his former teammate Hunter Pence in the fold for them. Yeah, great move for them, though. You know, they did give up that Tommy Joseph, the top, you know, one of the top hitting prospects in their system, so that's pretty loss. I think that losing Nate Scherholz is probably not as big a deal as some people are making it out to be. But either way, I mean, what you're getting back in Hunter Pence is definitely worth it. You know, he's been one of the more consistent, both offensive and defensive players in the league, both in Houston and Philadelphia. You know, former All-Star. He's definitely going to provide that pop that they've really been thirsting for in the middle of the order with Sandoval out, Pagan struggling. So that three-headed monster at the very least with Brera, Posey, and Pence is really pretty terrifying, honestly.
All right, not the only deal. You alluded to it. The Giants answered the Dodgers trade, another deadline deal that happened on Tuesday. The Dodgers pick up Shane Victorino to play in the outfield with Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp. The Dodgers gave away, let me see if I can find it. They gave away Josh Lindblom, Ethan Martin, and a player to be named later, plus cash. Jeremy, how much did you like the pickup of Shane Victorino, the Flying Hawaiian?
I like it a lot. I mean, we needed to fill a hole in left field. You know, that's been a kind of a spot that we've been rotating players in and out of all season. And we also needed some speed and some, I guess, just quality play at the top of the lineup because Steve Gordon went down, and even when he was in, he had a bad on-base percentage, bad batting average. So we really killed two birds with one stone getting Victorino. You know, he can play left field. He's good defensively. He can get on base. He can hit for a little power even. Got good speed. So, yeah, I like the pickup. You know, he hasn't been at his best this season, but he's definitely picked it up since the second half started, even a little bit before that. Yeah, definitely like it overall. It adds a little more punch to the lineup, a little more likelihood of getting guys on base in front of Kemp and Ethier and Hanley Ramirez. So, you know, I can't complain. You know, what we gave up definitely is, in my opinion, I think we ended up on the better end of that deal both now and in the long run. But, of course, that remains to be seen how the prospects pan out.
All right, if you like the sound of Jeremy's voice, you're going to get a little more of it because that wasn't the only deal the Los Angeles Dodgers of Los Angeles did earlier in the week. They pull off a trade, getting the big fish from the Miami Marlins. Hanley Ramirez comes over to play third base. There were some rumors that he could fill in at shortstop, but Gordon's still out. He comes to Los Angeles along with relief pitcher Randy Choate. Miami gets Nathan Eovaldi, who had been up in the majors for the Dodgers this season, along with single-A pitcher Scott McGow. Jeremy, I'm working you hard right now. Take a deep breath. Okay. Hanley Ramirez, go.
I'm glad you made me take a deep breath. Might have choked up, get too excited over here. I love the trade for Hanley. I know that he's got a lot of critics for whatever reason, for his attitude, for, you know, a dip in production this season. And they're all justified. You know, he hasn't been playing up to the standards. You know, he's a former, average crown winner, batting title winner. He's legit 30-30 candidate when he's on for a full season. So definitely, you know, getting down around 250 was not playing up to par for him. But, you know, he is still... He's young, he's 28, and he's had those huge seasons. He's now on a winning team in a lineup of protection, you know, two all-stars around him. So, you know, I loved it. I was pretty surprised when it came through. I knew we were talking about it, but I didn't expect it to actually be something that would come to fruition for him. So, yeah, I definitely love getting that big bat behind Kemp and Ethier. And I was picking in front. That 1-5 is, for the first time in a couple of years, very, very solid.
All right. If you want to get more of Jeremy's thoughts on Dodgers pickups, go to our blog, 3d.mlblogs.com, where you can grade that trade on most of the trades. We have a few more coming in. And then you can still grade trades right for Shane Victorino and Hanley Ramirez if you're a Dodgers fan. Going to go over to the AL Central. One of the few trades with two teams in the same division trading with each other, the Twins and the White Sox. The White Sox picked Francisco Liriano from the Minnesota Twins, who is actually good tonight for the White Sox. He went six innings, gave up just a couple earned runs with eight strikeouts against his former team. Angelo, how did you like the pickup of Francisco Liriano for the White Sox in that rotation where you see Chris Sale might not be 100% with some fatigue?
Well, I mean, the White Sox did what they needed to do and picked up a left-handed arm for the rotation if they want to make a run at winning the division or picking up a wild card spot. However, I don't know if that was the best move
to get a left-hander. I think one of the biggest plus sides to that is he's seen the division for a while now, and he knows how to compete against the other four teams in the division. But I don't know. I've never been sold on Liriano. You know, there was talks of here in Detroit of possibly trading for him before he made the deal for Sanchez, and I was never a big fan of it. Maybe it'll help Chicago in the long run. I guess it is an improvement on their part, but I'm not sold on Liriano completely. I think he still has some holes, so I'm not really sure if this is going to benefit the White Sox for the playoffs or not, if they even make it there.
All right, Minnesota picks up shortstop prospect Eduardo Escobar, who has spent some time in the majors this year, a plus defender, and Pedro Hernandez, a starting pitcher. He will go to Triple A for the Twins right now. Another trade within the division for each other. The Pittsburgh Pirates making a push for the playoffs. They are currently in position for the wild card right now. They pick up Wandy Rodriguez from the Houston Astros. KP, your thoughts on Wandy getting out of Houston?
Good move by him, because he certainly wasn't going there for the last million years that he's been pitching down there, and he's been pitching well down there. But if he goes to Pitt, he's going to have a shot at least making the playoffs and making an impact, because the Pirates have been playing well. And, well, the Houston Astros are in a perpetual state of improvement, I guess, or lack thereof. But to trade away their guy that's been there for a long time to get three more prospects for hopefully for the future for them, that was probably a good move on their part.
All right, Houston, that's not the only trade they pulled off. They send third baseman Chris Johnson over to Arizona, pick up two more prospects. The Astros, if you have a prospect, the Houston Astros want them. They pick up Mark Krause, a first base outfielder, and Bobby Borchering from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Chris Johnson heads over to Arizona, where he can be a solid piece in that Arizona starting lineup, filling in for third base because they sent away Ryan Roberts. Ryan Roberts designated for assignment. He ends up getting sent to Tampa Bay, where he actually has been on fire since arriving for the Rays, playing third base for them. Going to go to possibly the biggest seller at the deadline. The Astros kind of spaced out their selling of the trades between Carlos Lee earlier this month, Chris Johnson, Wandy Rodriguez, all spaced out. Two teams sold completely during today. We saw the Phillies, they sold out on Shane Victorino and Hunter Pence, but the other team coming from the NL Central, the Chicago Cubs, selling everybody except Matt Garza, it seemed. Garza is hurt right now. They couldn't get anybody to take them. Let's start it off. The Ryan Dempster trade going to the Texas Rangers. And we will get to some news later on about why they needed to pick up Ryan Dempster, it seems. Did you like the move grabbing Ryan Dempster, or did you think they would make a bigger splash in the rotation?
I thought they'd make a bigger splash in the rotation. I thought Cliff Lee was coming here. He was who everybody was talking about until about an hour before the trade deadline, when Philadelphia apparently just said, we're not trading him, nobody's giving us what we want. Everybody wanted Mike Gault. Rangers weren't trading Mike Gault. But getting Ryan Dempster is not bad. He's been pitching well this season, and they really didn't have to give up much to get him. They only had to get Christian Villanueva, who is very good. He's the Rangers' ninth overall prospect, their second best third base prospect, only behind Mike Gault. He's a young player. He's only the highest he's played is single A, but he's good. Cubs got a good pick in him. Kyle Hendricks, starting pitcher. I don't know much about the guy. Obviously, he's not one of their better pitching prospects they have, but the Ryan Dempster trade was very good, obviously, because you said, we'll get to that later, but the Rangers needed pitching, and they got what they needed.
Not the only trade between the Rangers and the Cubs. It's kind of funny that they couldn't push this all together in one trade. Last night, Monday night, we saw all the hugs in the dugout at Wrigley Field. The Rangers picked up Giovanni Soto to replace your Victory Alba as Mike Napoli's backup in Texas, giving up starting pitching prospect Jacob Brigham. Do you like Soto? Does this mean we might see Napoli go away after to free agency shortly?
I don't see Napoli leaving. I see him staying. I see him re-signing with the Rangers. Obviously, his price has gone down this season. But the Rangers, again, really didn't give up much to get Giovanni Soto, obviously, because he is having a down year. He's had a few down years recently, ever since he won Rookie of the Year. Jake Brigham's not one of the Rangers' top 10 pitching prospects. He's in the AA. He probably translates to be a middle reliever, I would think, at best. He has some command issue. But, Giovanni Soto is interesting because he is under contract for next year. And like you mentioned, Mike Napoli is a free agent at the end of this year. Torey Alba was going to be a free agent at the end of this year. So it gives them some flexibility if, say, Mike Napoli signs with another team. Then they at least have a catcher on the major league roster that for next year that has experience with this pitching staff.
All right. And the last trade that the Chicago Cubs pulled off, there were rumors of Ryan Dempster going to Atlanta last week. Ryan Dempster would not accept a trade to Atlanta as a 10-5 player. He ended up, as we said, in Texas. So instead, the Braves make a deal with the Chicago Cubs, picking up Paul Mahalem, a lefty starter, and Reed Johnson, a utility outfielder, one of the best pinch hitters in the league, along for cash. They send Jay Chapman, a AAA reliever, and Arodis Vizcaino, who was very solid last year in the majors for the Braves bullpen, did need to get Tommy John surgery. He is currently out. But if the Cubs can sit on Vizcaino for a little while, it's a nice little pickup. I love the trade for the Braves, though. Paul Mahalem, 5-0 with a 1.00 ERA in his last six starts with Chicago, comes over to Atlanta. Tommy Hansen goes to the DL today with a lower back heel place. Mahalem will replace Hansen in the rotation. Reed Johnson, just a solid professional hitter. Not going to do anything flashy, but if he can form a platoon there with Matt Diaz in left field. Prado goes to third base to replace Chipper Jones. On days Chipper needs off, there will be plenty of at-bats for Reed Johnson in Atlanta. Brandon Lee going over from the Mariners to the Los Angeles Dodgers. He lost the closer gig to Tom Wilhelmsen in Seattle. Jeremy, where do you think he factors into the Los Angeles Dodgers bullpen?
Sounds like he'll be in some kind of setup role, whether that's sharing it or having it all to himself. Very worst, probably just a kind of a guy to get from the starter to the setup man or the closer, maybe a seventh inning kind of guy, which is fine. I mean, we essentially did the trade because we had the Victorino for Lindblom and Ethan Martin trade in the works, and we needed to replace Lindblom, who kind of had that role before. So league, I think, is a little bit better overall. Lindblom probably has more potential, but it's also nice to have another guy in the pen that has closed before in league, even though he wasn't great at it. You know, he does have that kind of experience in case we have to go to him in a pinch. Overall, I like the trade, but I did not like necessarily giving up Leon Landry, who's our single-A outfielder that went to the Mariners in the trade, because he's putting up huge numbers. It's only single-A, but got a lot of pop, good speed, former third-round pick. You know, I wish we could have held on to him, but got to do what you got to do, and we ended up with Victorino and another bullpen arm, so I'm happy with it.
All right, and it seems like the NL West provided most of the trade deadline drama. Marco Scudero traded from Colorado to San Francisco, where he will get a nice little ballpark adjustment on his stats. As he saw last night, he absolutely rocketed one against the Mets. It would have been a home run in Coors Field. It was a flyout in San Francisco. Jeremy, with Pablo Sandoval now going to the DL, how do you like Marco Scudero filling in at third base for the Giants?
Well, it's a heck of a lot better than what they had before. I mean, they were splitting time with Joaquin Arias and whatever else they could find on the back of their bench. But, Scudero, you know, he's not anyone that's going to put up staggering offensive numbers, but he's a veteran. He can play pretty much anywhere in the infield, it seems. Good utility guy, good leadership out of him. And he'll make big plays for you in the field. He'll put together some clutch hits. So it's not a huge signing by the Giants, but it's definitely not one you want to overlook because, you know, it will do them some good, especially down the stretch, having a guy like that off the bench, when at least when Sandoval comes back.
All right, another trade. The Pittsburgh Pirates and Toronto Blue Jays do business. Travis Snyder going from above the border to below the border. He gets sent to Pittsburgh in exchange for relief pitcher Brad Lincoln. The Blue Jays also pick up relief pitcher Steve Delabar from the Seattle Mariners for outfielding prospect Eric Thames. Toronto obviously needs some bullpen help with all the injuries they've had in the pitching, but I'm going to focus here on the Pirates. Travis Snyder will fill in right field for Pittsburgh. You saw them pick up Wandy. They also pick up Chad Qualls in the bullpen with a trade with the Yankees, sending Casey McGee over to the Bronx. KP, do you think the Pirates did enough to make a run for the playoffs?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they did. They're kind of having Brewers syndrome as of the last year and 2008 and whatnot. I mean, we picked up CC Sabathia, and we got Zach Greinke and Sean Markham the last year and two. So I don't know if Wandy Rodriguez is kind of at the same. I wouldn't say he's better than CC, and I would have a tough time putting him up in the same element as Greinke and Markham, but maybe more Markham now that he's kind of gotten a little bit older. But I don't know that Pittsburgh's put together enough or made enough moves now to make a stronger push. I think they certainly can try to maintain what they've got and maybe improve a little bit, but I don't know if they're going to go on a surge quite like the Reds have as of late or other teams.
All right. And also interesting, the Detroit Tigers make no trades, I believe. Angelo, why did Detroit stay put, you think?
Well, okay. I mean, if you wanted to not count the Infante Sanchez deal.
That happened. I think we covered that last week, but yeah. Why didn't they make anything near the deadline, you think?
Well, I think they feel that they're pretty much good to go. The only thing that there was talks of today was acquiring Alfonso Soriano from the Cubs, who, like we said, was just having a fire sale over there in Chicago. But they couldn't agree to terms on what seems to be just a money issue. I know that I've got quotes from Leland and our assistant GM, Al Avila, saying that we like where we stand right now and there's really no need to improve. But I'm not too upset with making trades. There wasn't anybody out there that went in a trade today that I wanted that would help our team. We're pretty much set on our full rotation, outfield and infield. So I would say it's probably a good move not to keep buying this late. Although there is still talks that Carlos Lee and Alfonso Soriano could be eligible to be traded to us in the next month after clearing waivers. So we'll see.
Yeah, Alfonso Soriano would be one of the biggest names out there. He is owed $18 million in 2013 and 2014. That money alone would probably let Alfonso Soriano get all the way through waivers and be eligible to be traded to any team after the trade deadline in the month of August. We've gone through every trade now except for the minor league trade. Lars Anderson traded from the Red Sox. Actually, we did miss one trade. I'm sorry. I apologize. Craig Breslow traded from the Diamondbacks to the Red Sox to help out the Red Sox bullpen, very much needed as they've been shaky and pretty much overused the way the Red Sox rotation has gone. We're past the trade deadline now. Who is your guys' biggest winner and loser from the trade deadline? We're going to start it off with Brian.
Biggest winner? I'd have to go the Cubs. I know they traded everybody away, but Theo Epstein had to go in there and supplant his footing on the team, saying, this is my team. I'm running the organization now. He tried to get rid of Soriano. He tried to get rid of all these bad contracts, Matt Garza. Those two didn't work out. But I honestly think Cubs are probably the biggest winner because now they can start over.
All right, going to go back over to Angelo. who's your biggest winner and loser of the trade season?
I think the biggest winner, I'm going to go with the LA Dodgers. I mean, they're getting pieces that they need. They look like they're building a team to win the World Series, getting Hanley Ramirez, getting Shane Victorino, getting Brandon League. And I think the biggest loser, and I joked about this earlier with you guys, I think the biggest loser is the Phillies. I mean, granted, they kind of made up a little bit more ground than what was originally reported from that Hunter Pence deal, but I just feel like they just sold off a bunch of players that they need, and they signed Cole Hamels just recently, and I don't really know what's going on over there. Do they even have enough offense to give Hamels run support now? I don't know. So I think the Phillies are the biggest loser.
All right, KP, over to you. Your biggest winner and loser from the trade.
For this season, I think the Angels certainly tried to put their mark on things. I mean, not that they made like one trade, so it's not a big deal, but it's a big deal in the fact that their guys are playing well right now, and they could definitely make a big surge towards the end of the season. I also think San Francisco is trying to piece together some things, but I think they needed to get more pitching or get another pitcher in there. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, the Dodgers probably made the most big moves. I mean, they brought in a lot of big names. Hanley Ramirez is coming in. Brandon League's coming in. Shane Victorino. I mean, they're going to try to form something around Matt Kemp and Andre Ethier. So we'll see what they can piece together for that.
And, Jeremy, over to you. Do you agree that the Dodgers were the biggest winner of the trade deadline?
You know, I'm probably going to surprise you guys a little bit. I'm not going to say that any of those huge trades, like, you know, the Dodgers, the Giants, the Angels, the Rangers, they all brought in big-name guys that they needed, big pieces to help them, you know, compete against each other in the divisions. I'm going to go with kind of an under-the-radar team that we talked about earlier, and I think that, you know, maybe not biggest winner in terms of big names, but I think the Pirates made a lot of really good, savvy moves because they're so close as it is to not only finally reaching 500 for the first time in a million years, but they're so close to being a legit playoff contender. And I think bringing in Wandy Rodriguez, bringing in some lesser-known bats like Gabby Sanchez, Travis Snyder, guys that, you know, have so much potential to just kind of insert into that lineup and play big parts in a playoff run, I think those went kind of unnoticed. And I think that because of that and the position they're in now, they're my biggest winner, even though that's a little bit weird to say with all those big names out there on the other teams. Biggest losers, I'm going, even though they've been on absolute fire, the Oakland A's didn't do anything at their deadline, absolutely nothing. And, you know, everyone here in the Bay Area was expecting at least to get some kind of shortstop upgrade, something to get one more bat in that lineup to kind of secure the feeling that they to actually make a run for this. And you know, you got to love the young pitching. You got to love this gritty clutch hitting they've brought to the table with the lineup, but I just don't think it's enough. And I think they needed one more piece. And I'm honestly very surprised that Billy Beane stood pat at the deadline.
I agree that the Athletics, I thought they were going to do something. Billy Beane usually has something sneaky. My biggest winner from the trade deadline is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim picking up Zach Greinke. When you put him in a rotation with Jared Weaver, CJ Wilson, Dan Herron, and Zach Greinke now, you've got to find a way to beat those four guys four times in a seven-game series to try and get to the World Series. That is an incredible pitching staff. Even Irvin Santana now is a five. Irvin Santana, he hasn't been that great, but he might be the best number five pitcher in baseball right now. Absolutely love that pickup for the Angels. And my biggest loser is the Colorado Rockies. I don't understand. They were so far out of it that why didn't they try and trade some pieces away, pick up some things for the future? I mean, they did the Scudero trade, but not much else. They didn't get rid of Betancourt. They could have picked up a couple prospects for him. They're not going anywhere with him as their closer anyway. Very confusing out of Colorado why they didn't do anything. That's going to do it for all our trade talk. I apologize to Gabby Sanchez, who we didn't get to, going to Pittsburgh. Edward Mujica, going to St. Louis, I'm sure those guys are going to end up screwing us and making us look bad for not mentioning them and doing great things for their new teams. Going to go over to our regular news portion now, and we might as well start it off with this week in Tommy John. Eric Surkamp of the Giants does get Tommy John surgery this week for the San Francisco Giants, but the bigger news, we get to go back for the second week in a row. Brian, you get to give us the update on this week in Tommy John. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so am I. I'm not even, I mean, I wish I was happy to do this, get more talking on, but Nephtali Feliz, it was announced just after the Ryan Dempster trade, the same press conference, that Nephtali Feliz will be undergoing Tommy John surgery. It's really not a surprise. He went on the DL with the elbow issue about six, 8 weeks ago. He was scratched from the start earlier this week, or late last week, elbow issue. So it didn't really surprise me. I thought it was coming. I was kind of surprised the Rangers didn't announce it earlier. Maybe that's because they didn't want to show teams just how desperate they were to get a starting pitcher. I don't know. John Daniels is a Jedi Master. He can do what he wants. He's earned it. I think this is just the baseball gods smiting the Rangers because they had two really healthy seasons and couldn't win, so now they're just taking everybody off the field.
All right, that's the big injury news from today. The bigger injury news from earlier this week, it wasn't just this week in Tommy John, it was this week in fractured hands. Alex Rodriguez, a non-displaced fracture of his left hand on a hit by the pitch by King Felix Hernandez in a game with Seattle. He is out 6 to 8 weeks. That is one of the reasons why the Yankees picked up Casey McGee in the deal with the Pirates for Chad Qualls. And then another fractured hand, J.P. Arencibia, the catcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. He is out 6 weeks with a fractured hand after being hit by a pitch. Going over to the NL West, back to Jeremy. Lots of Jeremy this week. His mom should probably listen to this episode. She's going to get to hear her son a lot. Pablo Sandoval goes to the DL with an injured, strained hamstring. What do you think about Pablo Sandoval to the DL? Can Marco Scudero fill in enough? How big of a blow is this to the Giants lineup that just picked up Hunter Pence?
I mean, it hurts. You know, he is their kind of go-to big slugger, you know, but I'm wondering, when I first heard that he, you know, hurt his leg, it was apparently on a stretch at first base, and, you know, they are always constantly bugging him in San Francisco, the coaching staff and the training staff, about getting in shape, keeping his weight down. I'm wondering if that had an effect on it, but, you know, he'll be back. It's not like a season-ending thing, and Scudero's not going to have to play the whole season or anything. Scudero will be fine for the time being. Definitely won't match anywhere near the power production that Sandoval brings. But, yeah, honestly, as a Dodger fan, sitting here knowing that Sandoval's going to come back to the heart of that lineup now with Pence in it, not a happy camper over here.
All right, going to go over to Angelo now. A couple injuries out of the AL Central. John Danks, done for the season, will get shoulder surgery. They replaced him in that rotation with Liriano. Are you a little should Chicago fans be a little wary of that rotation now? Gavin Floyd is still in it. Danks is out. Liriano in. Sale is kind of injured. Peavy's hasn't been as good as he was in the start of the season. Where do you think Chicago fans should feel about their rotation right now?
I think they should be very worried. You hit everything right in the nose. I mean, they're not exactly healthy right now. They just traded for another guy that, well, he's healthy now, but he hasn't been in his career as a whole. They don't have anything they have no more pieces they can lose. They can't afford anything else. They have to have everyone remain healthy and get healthy for those that who aren't. Otherwise, they're not going to have a chance of making the playoffs because the three teams in the AL West are playing way too good.
All right, and another injury in the AL Central. Trevor Plouffe goes to the 15-day DL with thumb soreness. A lot of power in that Minnesota lineup for that is out now. Willingham will have to do it pretty much on his own in the power department, it seems, for the Twins right now. Angelo, your thoughts on Trevor Plouffe? What do you think? Do you think he'll be back in time to the Twins? Very not active at the trade deadline either.
No, and he was a good run producer for that team, or has been for this team so far. But I mean, I don't think if he's not healthy, there's no need for him to come back. Just, you know, in the Twins' best interest, I think, is just to shut him down for as long as he needs. You know, make another run at it again next year. Like I said, they weren't active in the trade deadline today, or really all week. So maybe they'll gear up and come back at it next year. I don't think there's any reason to rush Plouffe back.
All right, we might have buried the lead a little bit here, probably a lot of it after going over all the trades. But big news extension-wise, Cole Hamels, a six-year, $144 million extension with the Philadelphia Phillies. Just kind of funny because you would have thought maybe they're going to make another run at it, and then they go ahead and trade Hunter Pence and Shane Victorino at the deadline. It is the for Hamels, it is the second largest contract for a starting pitcher all time, just behind CC Sabathia's $161 million deal with the Yankees. What do you guys think about Cole Hamels sticking around in Philadelphia? Jeremy, I know you're excited to think Hamels might hit free agency after this season.
Yeah, I was. That's too bad. I mean, I guess the Dodgers won't be bidding billions and trillions and zillions of dollars on him this offseason like I'd hoped. But, you know, it was a little bit strange now seeing what they did in the trade market. But it makes sense. You know, they have that stud ace that's going to be around for a long time that they can build a pitching staff around. As soon as Halliday and Lee are gone, they can, you know, use to attract new bats and free agency. I think the Phillies will recover faster than people think. I don't expect this kind of bad season this year to carry on for much more than maybe one more year.
All right, and another extension, Houston Street, the closer for the San Diego Padres. He gets a contract extension, 2 years, $14 million with San Diego. Very kind of sneaky by San Diego after you thought that Street and Carlos Quinton might be on the trading block. They both end up signing extensions with the Padres. I'm going to go back to the injuries now. Josh Beckett left tonight. We are recording this on Tuesday night. He left tonight's start with a strained oblique. Very scary situation. You don't like seeing oblique injuries in pitchers. We saw Cliff Lee miss a month with it. We saw Doug Fister miss a month with it. Brandon Morrow has been out God knows how long with it, with a strained oblique. If Josh Beckett is out, that could be the nail in the coffin for Red Sox fans on any hopes of getting back into the playoffs for that. As I now look it up, and Angelo is saying it's back spasms. Much better news if it's not an oblique injury. They'll get more information probably by the time you listen to this. So go Google Josh Beckett for the latest news on the Red Sox pitcher. One pitcher we do know is going to the DL is Tommy Hansen of the Atlanta Braves. He has a strained lower back. Might have been part of the reason why the Braves went out and made sure they shored up the rotation with Paul Mahalam. Chris Medlin started tonight. He may get another start. They still have Julio Teheran sitting in the minors if they would like to call him up. Maybe Mike Minor has turned it around. He was good in his last start. So still a lot of pitchers for Atlanta as they are currently sitting atop the wild card standings along with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Gonna go over to the AL West where the Angels have been absolutely on fire, but they're hitting a little hiccup now. Eric Ibar to the DL with a non-displaced toe fracture, the shortstop for the Angels. How big of a blow is this to the Angels lineup, Ryan?
Well, before Trout, he was the guy that got everything going. He's been hitting lower in the lineup lately, but he is still a good hitter. He is a Gold Glove winning shortstop. This is a huge blow to them defensively, not as much offensively because of the emergence of Mike Trout, who's making Torrey Hunter better,
Pujols is starting to hit again. They still got Trumbo. So their offense isn't going to hurt. What it's really going to hurt them is defensively. You're going to miss that guy, that presence in the middle of the field where if it's a ground ball up there, chances are he's going to stop it, and chances are you're going to be out at first. So that is where their biggest issue is going to be.
And another injury for the Angels might be even bigger than Eric Eibar. Scott Downs, who has been absolutely incredible out of the bullpen for them this year, he goes to the DL with a shoulder strain. Ernesto Friere is there to still lock down the closer role, but Jordan Walden is going to need to step up for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. A couple more injuries before we get out of here this evening. Jim Thome goes to the DL. He was traded for by the Baltimore Orioles. He goes to the disabled list with a herniated disc in his neck. And the Marlins, Logan Morrison, they might as well just shut down the rest of the season, as you saw by their fire sale at the trade deadline. He goes to the DL with knee inflammation. He might need to get surgery on that knee. And the last injury for this week, Yasmani Grandel, the San Diego catcher, strained oblique as well. He goes out. Jeremy, last bit from you, as this is the NL West theme show, it seems. How has Yasmani Grandel's emergence helped the San Diego Padres? Is this going to affect his growth as a player for them?
No. I mean, you never want to go down with any kind of injury and miss any time. You know, every ball player wants to be out there every game. I don't expect it to really affect him necessarily. The Padres aren't contenders this year. They never were going to be, probably. But, yeah, you know, it's tough to see a young guy that's been performing so well since being called up go down like that. But that being said, you know, it's better that he get healthy and start contributing next year, because that's one of those big bats they really want to build around.
And one last note, Anthony Bass was moved to the 60-day disabled list. Angelo, our friend of the podcast, how is he going? How is he holding up over there in San Diego with the rehab?
Last I talked to him, well, he just threw pain-free for the first time last week, so he's going to move to start stretching out his arm before he's going to have to make some rehab starts. So far it looks all right.
All right, once he does start the rehab, he will have 30 days to arrive. Maybe they just moved him to try and free up space on the 40-man roster, but we hope to see Anthony Bass back in the lineup soon. That is going to do it for us this week. We are going to skip the 3-up, 3-down fantasy. We went over a lot of news, a lot of trade deadline stuff, so we don't want to have you listening for too long. We will get back to 3-up, 3-down fantasy next week. I'm sure you can still use last week's guys. Let me see if I can find last week's guys. Michael Fiers, he was good.
You bet.
Ross, he's been doing well. So, yeah, just use those guys. Keep going, pick up Michael Fiers. Go pick up Jose Quintana, too, who we told you about. So they've been doing well. But that is going to do it for us this week. I'd like to once again thank my Baseball Roundtable associates, who I would never trade for anything. Jeremy Dorn, Kurt Peter, Angelo Felicia, and Brian Boynton. My name, Brian Mapes. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It is at 3U3D over there. Like us on Facebook, 3Up, 3Down, all words, no numbers involved over there. Read our blog, 3U3D.mlblogs.com. It's the end of the month. You can read all of our trades that we have up, A, B, C, D, F, whatever you want to do. We have most, I believe, all of the big trades up on the blog to be graded. If you're a fan of any of those trades, hate them, love them. If you're a fan of one of those teams, let us know how you feel. I will have my not-so-early MLB awards coming this week. We actually crossed 20,000 blog views today on the last day of the month, and nearly 6,000 for this month. Hopefully we'll put us back in the top 25 on ML Blogs this month, so we thank everybody for reading over there. If you'd like to email us, it's 3u3dbaseball@gmail.com. And that is going to do it for us tonight. I'm sorry we ran out of time. we will get to Eddie Mata the next time. To take that test. Change it. Change it.